Welcome to the Park Wars Podcast, celebrating and exploring all things Star Wars in the Disney theme parks across the galaxy.
R2, lightspeed to Endor!
We're two of the most interesting and creative entertainment companies in the world. And so when we get together, we have a lot of fun.
Hey!
May the Force be with you.
It's just a fantastic combination of using technology and telling great stories.
I'm afraid we've all just joined the Rebel Alliance.
Hey, Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
May the Fourth be with you. Ba-bum-ching. How's it going, Tanner?
Good.
Good. It is almost... Tomorrow is May 4th. It's Star Wars Day, the national holiday of all things Star Wars, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, welcome everyone to the Park Wars Podcast.
Exploring Star Wars attractions and adventures in the Disney theme parks across the galaxy.
There we go. So we're sitting here this week in somewhat of the mess of my studio / Star Wars shrine. Over the weekend, I decided to open another wing of shelving, which now means I've got Star Wars toys all over the place with my collection kind of scattered. But don't worry, it will look better soon enough. It's got to look better. We have company coming this week, and you know, when company comes over, you got to show off the Star Wars shrine because a lot of people like to see that. Thanks for bearing with us. We did have a week off last week due to some scheduling conflicts that we had and people over, and we just had a crazy busy week, so we weren't able to do a show, but we are back at it this week and for the next few weeks, giving you all the latest Star Wars Disney Park news, and there is a lot going on. So, Tanner, shall we discuss
the transmission? Now what?
Star Tours 1401, you are cleared for departure.
So as I said earlier, tomorrow is Wednesday, May the 4th, which is a big deal for Star Wars fans, as we all understand the pun May the 4th, aka the Force be with you.
Did you just say tomorrow?
It is, because the show comes out on Tuesday.
Okay.
Which means, assuming they listen to it... Ouch. Assuming they listen to it when it comes out, that would be Tuesday and tomorrow's Wednesday. Or you know what? You could be listening to it on Thursday going, hey, boneheads, Star Wars Day was yesterday. But whenever you listen to the show, we don't mind as long as you're listening. My
ow.
Brain is misfiring.
Oh,
what is going on with you over there?
Ow.
Oh, someone was practicing hurdles today. And now sore. This isn't going to be like the Toy Box Summit, the Disney Infinity Toy Box Summit, when your leg just suddenly clinched up from lack of sleep and you just went to the floor in pain.
That was so funny.
That was weird because I could see your muscle actually just go and just latch on and hold. It was kind of gross. But
mm-hmm.
A little different this time.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Okay, all right. So here's the question that I have for you. I want to speculate with me on this. You're Lucasfilm. You have an opportunity on the first May 4th holiday that we have all proclaimed to release something good. The question is, what do you do? So we've got a few options here. I was looking at an article on Cinema Blend, and they presented what they thought would be some great Star Wars Day reveals. But the question is, what are they going to do, if anything? I mean, The Force Awakens has finally come out. There's a lot of things we can talk about. Are they going to do anything? So let's run through this list. First of all, they could give us the Episode 8 running title. What do you think?
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Next, they could finally announce who's going to be playing young Han Solo. Now, you're making faces here. You're making faces. Why are you making faces at young Han Solo?
I don't think that's the movie they should do.
Now, you and I have kind of have gone back and forth on this. Why is it that you don't like the idea of a young Han Solo movie?
Because it's not going to feel right with anybody other than Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to be exactly him.
No one's going to be exactly him, no.
Which will make it wrong. And well, feel wrong. Having somebody else. Yeah. You can't get the voice exactly right. You can get it similar, and you can't get the face exactly right.
Okay, now this feels weird for me because it's so unlike me, but I have to argue Star Trek here. Because everyone said the same things when they heard the casting for the new reboot of the Star Wars movies. And everyone's like, no, you know, William Shatner is the only person that can be Captain Kirk. And it's going to look weird. And it's not going to get it right. And yet, I thought that casting was perfect as far as a young version of Kirk.
Yeah, but this isn't a reboot.
It's not a reboot. No, it's just a story of when he's younger.
Yeah. For the Star Trek, that was a reboot.
Correct.
They're restarting the series with different actors.
But they still looked just like younger versions of the old actors. At least very convincingly so, in my opinion. I thought the casting, the people doing the casting were just spot on with who they got. And to me, I'm trusting Kathleen Kennedy and her casting people to find someone that's just going to nail this part for a young Han Solo.
I think they're just doing what they think is going to make them more money.
Since when did you become this cynic?
Well, that's what, like, they should do something with a movie and story and characters that they have the actors for, like an Obi-Wan movie. A lot of people want that too, and they have an Obi-Wan from the prequels that everybody liked as an actor who was at a good age to do a story about him, but they chose to get a new actor for somebody that we're all used to being played by a certain person.
I'd say that's very fair.
So if they were actually looking at it from an actor's standpoint and looking at what will be the best and flow the best with everything we already have, they would probably do that instead. But if they want to look at what people they're going to think are going to want to go see the most in the theater, they're going to go with the Han Solo one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, there's going to be, I think, a certain kind of Western comedy quality to the whole movie. I will admit I'm a little concerned about the directors just because they've done, you know, the Lego movie, they've done Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, all very lighthearted kid animation. And the movie that I'm imagining from a Han Solo film is definitely not that. I mean, it's Han Solo. It should have some comedy elements to it, but I don't know if they can pull it off. Again, I'm a Kool-Aid drinking Star Wars fan, so I'm trusting Lucasfilm that they know what they're doing with this. But the one thing that has me grateful is that the story is being written by Lawrence Kasdan, who is the Han Solo writer. I mean, he wrote Empire Strikes Back, he wrote The Force Awakens, he wrote Indiana Jones, which really isn't Star Wars, but he knows what he's doing with those characters, and so I really hope that it translates well. But yeah, there are some concerns there, but maybe it might quell some of our concerns if they released an actor, especially one dressed in the Han Solo costume that we could look at and say, oh yeah, that's Han Solo. They're doing the right thing. But as you said, though, I would also love to get an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. And I know it's considered now, what, Legends? But I really loved the novel Kenobi. Do you have that over on the Star Wars shelf? Is that within reach? I thought it was right there. Okay. I want to make sure I give credit to the proper source. But now, you haven't read that book, but I read it. I really liked it. I thought it'd make a great movie. Set in between episodes 3 and 4, explains what he's doing in the desert. He's fighting the sand people. He's got all sorts of different things going on. It's a good read. I think it'd make a good film. But who knows if Disney will go that direction in the future? Not Alec Guinness, sadly. Ewan McGregor is certainly willing to do it, but who knows if they'll actually go down that road. Fingers crossing that they will. Okay, so another choice for a Star Wars Day news reveal is a clip featuring Darth Vader from Rogue One. What would your thoughts be on that?
That'd be cool.
So, yeah, definitely all these I think would be cool, but they, I think they purposely left Vader out of the last trailer because they didn't want to kind of put that out there yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get one by Wednesday as far as something featuring Darth Vader. I think they're going to leave that for the summer, probably you know, Comic-Con or one of the big summer conventions that they've got to release that. You know, another big trailer, you know, another push for Rogue One. I don't think we're going to get anything yet. It's only been a few weeks since we had the trailer, but, you know, here's hoping. It'd be a fun idea. Mm-hmm. Even a picture or something that just says, hey, look, guys, Darth Vader is mm-hmm. back, and he's evil, and he's in his prime, and he's going to look awesome. There could be, switching to something else they could release on Wednesday, there could be info on the new Episode 8 characters. For instance, there's a character played by Benicio Del Toro. We know he's cast. We know he's in the movie. We have no idea what he's doing. Laura Dern from Jurassic Park fame is in there. Again, we have no idea what she's doing. So a picture of either of them in costume, maybe a character description. Kind of like what they released with Finn and Rey initially. You know, they had the Topps character card. Even one of those, just some little tidbit of upcoming Star Wars goodness would be a fantastic thing. Or, this one's not on CinemaBlend's list, but this is on my list. They could give us more bonus content from the Force Awakens DVDs or Blu-ray. Now, those that bought just the Blu-ray, they're kind of stuck with the content they got. Now, because we got the Blu-ray and we also therefore got the digital version, have access to these new features, but they have a new feature on the costuming and creature design from Episode 7, which was really fantastic and interesting. Granted, it's only maybe 6-7 minute video, but that came out within the last week. So if you have the digital version, make sure you go and watch that because there's a lot of good stuff. Now, Tanner, I think I showed you some of the Kylo Ren pieces from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of good information from there. So go check your iTunes account. Go watch that feature as it is a lot of good stuff. And then finally, on CinemaBlend's list, they could do nothing. They could just let the day slide and not even acknowledge it.
I don't think they do. I don't think they'll do that.
Okay, so you don't think they're going to go that route? Do you, first of all, have any other ideas of what you think they could do for Star Wars Day?
No.
All right, so let's go with predictions here. Which, then, of the ideas that I just read do you think would be good ones to do?
Episode 8 title.
You think Episode 8 title?
I think that's the most likely one.
It is.
Because even if they do change it eventually, that doesn't really affect people. It's just something for us to call it by.
True. I mean,
easy for them to do. They just have to make a logo.
That's true. Which, I mean, just put, you know, the square around it with rounded edges and
yeah,
boom, you got it. I think that would be a good idea. I would be surprised if we got it this soon. But, I mean, it seems like they're kind of struggling because for a long time, everyone was calling Episode 7 Episode 7. And then they said, no, it's Force Awakens. And it took kind of a long time to make the transition between calling it Episode 7 and The Force Awakens. And obviously, for my perfect example here, I still call it Episode 7. I know they want us referring to these movies as, you know, from their chapter names. So the sooner they release that title, the sooner we can start getting used to it. And the sooner we will know. There was a rumored title a few weeks ago. I don't know if that's true.
What was it?
I don't have that in my notes right in front of me.
Something about the temple.
No, it was something with the dark side.
What? I didn't see that one.
Echoes of the Dark Side or something like
that. Oh, I saw that one.
Never mind. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Of course, our audience that might not know is like, what? Tell us what it is. Quick, Google it. So, yeah, there's a lot of rumors out there, as there should be this in this part of the Star Wars season. It's time for everyone to be speculating away. So, hopefully we will find out here on Wednesday exactly what they have planned, if there's anything planned. But by golly, it is Star Wars Day. Give us some goodness.
I don't think they'll do nothing.
I don't think they'll do it. I honestly thought that it was going to be a perfect day to release the DVD back when I was looking at you know, kind of their marketing plan through this whole thing. I thought for sure that they were going to not release the Blu-rays on, you know, April 1st, whatever it was they did it, and just hold off another month until till Star Wars Day and then just bank on that for their marketing plans. That'd be the perfect opportunity. But hopefully they've got something coming in mind. We will know soon enough. So let's talk about the next thing on our list. And this is one of those fun parts about releasing a podcast. As soon as we finished recording and putting the show out 2 weeks ago, boom, there's this big summer event. It happened just, like I said, after we released, so we couldn't cover it. But there was the Awakened Summer press event where they brought a whole bunch of press over to Disney's Hollywood Studios and gave them a big rollout from all the things they have planned at Disney World this summer. And there's quite a bit of stuff coming.
There wasn't anything we didn't know about already, though.
There wasn't any huge surprises, no. They just went into a few more details on some things.
Not a whole lot. Everything we kind of assumed and figured was happening.
Well, for some, I mean, as far as the Star Wars stuff, yes. They did talk about a lot of the new stuff that's happening at Disney's Animal Kingdom with their Rivers of Light show. Granted, that's been delayed until possibly, you know, sometime in July. It was supposed to open. I think it's supposed to already be open. I think they're aiming for an Earth Day opening, but that didn't happen. So it's in delay mode. Which, as I've been learning about it, you know, I'm constantly reading and setting up in Disney history. It kind of cracks me up because, you know, they delay Rivers of Light opening by a couple of months, and everyone's just like, and they're freaking out about it because, you know, what does this mean? And delays. They don't realize that, for instance, Splash Mountain, when that first opened, that was delayed by, I think, 2 years almost.
Why?
A number of problems. I mean, granted, I don't want to derail too much. It was a significant delay, but they had a lot of problems when the carts were going up and over the hill. That's both, there was too big of a splash. People are getting absolutely drench soaked. I mean, more than we did the last time we rode it. Mm-hmm. Tony Baxter rode it and got so wet he had to like walk back to his hotel just drenched and change his clothes before he could come back and continue in the parks. And they're like, yeah, guests are never going to go for this. So they had to kind of figure out a better angle to come down. And one of the fun little facts about Splash Mountain is the fact that, like, for instance, in Pirates of the Caribbean, they have a lot of problems with that ride and they have to do a lot of annual maintenance because there's so much wood in there, and that wood with all the water rots very quickly. So they didn't want to have to do that with Splash Mountain. So they built the whole system out of concrete because then it can't rot. But anytime they need to make changes, then that's a whole big deal. So, you know, when it's time to change the angle on the falling hill, that means jackhammers and concrete removal and lots of noise that can't really take place during theme park hours. So it caused a lot of delays. Haunted Mansion delayed 6 years from when they originally announced it opening. So the few weeks of Rivers of Light delays are not going to hurt anybody. Granted, yeah, I know it would probably be frustrating if you've booked a specific vacation plan around seeing one of the first performances of it, but if the show's not ready to go out, then don't do it half-hearted, that's for sure. Make sure it's ready to go and just wow us. So at this big press event that they had, they did talk about Star Wars Land. And let's hear just for a minute some of the things that they had to say.
Good morning, everyone. Well, Bob, that's exactly right. This place is going to be amazing. I'm trying to keep myself from saying out of this world, but I think it will be out of this world. It's true. We're building a whole new planet, a never-before-seen place where you can live your own new Star Wars story. So where do you start on an epic project like this? Well, I think we go back to the beginning, because it was almost 40 years ago when the very first Star Wars film hit that big screen and introduced us to this amazing galaxy. And since that time, we've been dreaming about going to this place, about entering this world, about meeting these characters and being part of these stories. And soon, you'll be able to do just that. You'll have the chance to truly step into this amazing galaxy and take in the iconic sights and sounds. But now, for the first time ever, you'll be able to experience it with all of your senses. the smells, the tastes, this, what does blue milk taste like anyway, all part of these new adventures. On this remote outpost planet, you can expect to find all the epic action, the adventure, the mystery, the drama, and even the humor. All those things that make Star Wars, Star Wars. And you know, for nearly 30 years we've been working on this. Imagineers and our cast members have been working alongside Lucasfilm to bring Star Wars stories to life on our parks, starting all the way back in 1987 with attractions like Star Tours at Disneyland. And this incredible collaboration is even stronger today. And the fully immersive Star Wars-themed lands and unique experiences we are developing are going to be totally authentic, truly epic, and very, very unique, as Bob said. So, what might we do in this brand new world? Well, the answer is a lot. We're going to have two iconic signature attractions that will push the boundaries beyond anything you've seen or done before. As Bob mentioned, the first one invites you to step aboard that iconic spaceship, the Millennium Falcon, and take the controls yourself. You're actually going to be the pilot this time. You're going to be the one in complete control, steering it through outer space, firing those laser cannons. It's all up to you, so please be gentle with her. She's an older ship. The other story is an epic Star Wars adventure. This is an amazing attraction. This attraction puts you right in the middle of a climactic battle between the forces of good and evil, the dark side and the light. Yeah. But that's not all, not even close. There's so much more to see and do in this remote outpost. There's this great otherworldly street market run by a unique collection of characters, aliens, and droids. Here you can visit the shops, you can sample the local food and try these really cool and unique drinks. You know, and that's actually one of the things I'm most excited about, bringing Star Wars off of the screen and into the real world. And that's that we can bring all these immersive stories to life using all of our senses and truly put you into these amazing locations and immerse you fully. For example, who hasn't wanted to visit a Star Wars cantina and sample the daily specials, interact with the locals, and hear the latest rumors from the far reaches of the galaxy? Or, maybe, how about going upscale at the planet's nicest dinner club? This is the finest place on the planet to relax, indulge, and it's unlike any place you've ever been before or any place you've ever seen before. For the first time, you're going to be able to dine on local delicacies and immerse yourself in that unique culture and the cool customs of the Outer Rim. And while you're there, make sure to listen to the exotic sounds of the planet's best entertainers. You know, bringing these stories to life, creating authentic and immersive experiences, that's what we at Parks and Resorts do best. And we're working hard to deliver on those 40 years of dreaming. So on behalf of all the incredibly innovative and talented teams working together to bring this new planet to life, we look forward to making you a part of this ever-expanding galaxy.
Okay, so Tanner, what did you hear from that was new?
I didn't really get anything from that was new.
Seems like it's the same thing that they said pretty much at D23.
It's the same thing they've always said.
They're still being fairly vague on it. Not a lot of new details.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the new things that they did release, I mean, as fences have gone up at Disney's Hollywood Studios, they have artwork on there. And on those fences and released at this press event was a new piece of concept art, which, you know, if you go out there and you Google it, and actually if you look at our show image for the show this week, you'll see it right there. Boom. This is the new version. Okay, Tanner, are you looking at that?
Mm-hmm.
This is the old version. Do you notice anything immediately different?
No.
Now, one of the things that I picked up on is the color of the trees or the wood. In the original version that we got at D23, it's all very gray. Mm-hmm. Gray and green. In the new version, it's all very reddish.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumors online seem to be saying the fact that they might have changed the color tint a little bit so that as you're standing in Star Wars Land and you're looking back at the park, Thunder Mountain Railroad suddenly almost looks like it belongs.
Mm.
It doesn't look like it's a completely different land sticking out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It almost adds to the surround. Now, I don't know if that's why they tweaked the color a little bit, but to me that might make a bit of sense.
Yeah.
Now, also, if you look at these images, it kind of gives you an interesting idea. I mean, if you just picture this on top of where Lights, Motors, Action is currently and will no longer be as soon as they start the demolition of it. And then right next to it, here up to the side, there's a little tunnel here, which will go right into Toy Story Land, which is also going to be built. So we can start to get a sense of how that's going to lay out. Now, there's not the same size of land still fits pretty much where we know the construction is happening in Disneyland. So I see it kind of fitting very similar spot in both parks based on how they have the layout. So I'm glad to see it's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on that, Tanner?
Not really. I didn't really like that video.
It's just, yeah, kind of more of the same, but I'm glad they're talking about it. I'm glad that, they are trying to give us a few more details. Now, they're kind of hidden in the footage when they're showing the Millennium Falcon ride. There were a few new shots. And granted, it's still the Millennium Falcon kind of blasting out of a spaceport at, twilight at night.
Mm-hmm.
But a little bit of new footage. But if you saw the old footage, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So again, I'm glad they're shedding some light on it. Just I wish there's a little bit more light to shed. I know that they're trying to do all the last minute planning and not spilling the beans too soon, like with anything Star Wars, but it's still always good to get just a little bit more. Now, one of the things they did talk about, let me grab a drink real fast, my throat's dry. Much better. One of the things they did go into a lot more detail on is the new fireworks show that's going to be debuting at Disney's Hollywood Studios this summer. The one that's currently playing is called Symphony in the Stars, a Galactic Spectacular. And the new version is going to be called Star Wars, a Galactic Spectacular, which I don't know why they decided to make both things so close in name. But
where is my phone?
Do you have my phone?
No.
The phone in your hand looks resoundingly like my phone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hand it over. It's got the content in there. Okay. All right, kids these days. Where did I have that? Okay. No. Has to reload the page. Okay, so just before going on the air, I found this article about the new fireworks show. So, and this is from travelandleisure.com. And they said, let's see, because you ruined my bookmarks here. Okay. Star Wars-themed desserts, attractions, and shows have been popping up across Disney parks for months now, but the movie's presence will expand in a massive way when Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular opens at Hollywood Studios later this summer. If it sounds like old news, the source of confusion is understandable. While there's an impressive fireworks show at Hollywood Studios with the near-identical title, Symphony in the Stars, A Galactic Spectacular, that show is just the beginning. The current fireworks display, done on select evenings, is actually just a prelude of what's to come. When the new iteration debuts in the coming months, the upgraded experience will be entirely multidimensional, transporting viewers to the scenes and sounds within their favorite films, including the Death Star and Tatooine, and everything in between. Video montages will be projected into Grauman's Chinese Theater, home of the Great Movie Ride, as well as surrounding ride buildings and structures, and each projection will be different, making for an entirely new experience from varied vantage points. So Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular is set to be pulling out all the stops for this display, including lasers, fireworks, special effects, and smoke effects for holograms, making us think the princess will definitely be pleading for Obi-Wan Kenobi within the performance. And what is reinterpreting Star Wars epic battles without some pyrotechnics? There will be a 150-foot tower of fire used within a portion of the show, similar to the massive bursts of flame used in World of Color at Disney's California Adventure. Only that show happens on the water, and this one is impressively close to surrounding buildings and smack in the middle of the park. This new nighttime show will change how guests experience evening entertainment at Walt Disney World, not just for its technological advancements, but it's for its sheer numbers. With a show of this stature and Rivers of Light coming to Animal Kingdom later this summer as part of its new nighttime experiences, there'll be 5 signature evening shows across the 4 parks. So, all sorts of different things to look forward to in that show. Now, would you like an interesting side note?
Sure.
One of the fun things to think about is, did you just spit on me? Okay, that's gross. I'm the one who's supposed to spit when I talk and you weren't saying anything. Or were you just spitting on purpose? Stop it. We're talking fireworks here, not spit. Okay, so one of the interesting things to note is right now with the whole Symphony in the Stars fireworks show, this is a big fireworks production. There are a lot of fireworks in this show, and they haven't had fireworks for a long time at Disney's Hollywood Studios. The new show, well, let me back up for a second. The current show is getting rave reviews all over the place. It's actually the top rated fireworks show in Florida right now. So they're going to replace it. And they're touting up all the stuff with the laser projections and the fire and the smoke and the holograms and all this kind of stuff. This is mostly a projection show. There's not as many fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they go from a show that has a ton of fireworks to a show with not as many fireworks? Doesn't that seem like a downgrade?
Because they think it'll be better.
Yeah. It's interesting to know the behind the scenes of what's really happening here. Now, they will still have some fireworks, but it will, like they said, and like we've seen from the models, mostly be a projection show. What's happening simultaneous to all of this, sometimes people don't think through this, is Disney's Hollywood Studios is not too far away from Disney's Animal Kingdom. And at Disney's Animal Kingdom, they're rolling out a whole new nighttime experience in the parks because they want people to stay for their new Rivers of Light show. So they're doing nighttime safari rides, you know, when you get on those big safari trucks and go through and see the live animals. You remember that from when you were there? Really? Ah, oh, come on.
I've blocked memories of that place.
So anyway, for the safaris, they're doing a nighttime safari now. With all this nighttime entertainment. And so with live animals in the safari that people are trying to see in one park, and the next park over, there's a fireworks show with all of these loud fireworks. You know what all those loud noises do to the animals?
Wake them up.
The animals don't like fireworks. That riles them up. That makes them angry.
That makes the trip more fun.
So you've got all these people now out at night in the safaris with angry animals because the fireworks are scaring the crap out of them. That doesn't go together well.
I think it's more exciting.
So, interesting coincidence that just right around the time they debut nighttime safaris at Animal Kingdom, they are also switching out the fireworks show so the animals are a little less freaked out. So it all works together, but that is one of the reasons that they are bumping down the number of fireworks used in the Star Wars show instead of bumping them up like you would think they would. So a little behind the scenes information for you there. Okay, so that said, let's do some quick construction analysis. So I feel like we give a lot of love in this show to the Disneyland side of things. And that's because we can look online and we can see pictures and stuff's actually happening visibly at Disneyland. So there's a lot to talk about. I would love to talk more about Disney's Hollywood Studios and what's going on there. But frankly, all that we've got right now is construction fences going up. We know they've closed a lot of things. Lights, Motors, Action is no more. Catastrophe Canyon is gone. There's just not a lot. Other than the construction walls, there's not much going on there. Now, we did have a bit of piece of news that happened this last week. The Earful Tower is gone, which makes some people sad. but it had to go away in preparation of Star Wars Land. So Earful Tower is now no more. If you look online, you can see pictures of where it used to be, and it's not on the skyline anymore. But it is a casualty of the upcoming construction. So again, I apologize. I spent too much time on Disneyland and not enough time on Disney's Hollywood Studios. But hopefully the bulldozers will be out. They'll start tearing stuff up. We can start looking at pictures of that one soon enough too. But for now, it's not much to see yet. So going back over to Disneyland. Here we've got the current status of things. Looks a lot like it has in the past. The backstage area is all completely destroyed, plowed up, nothing left of it anymore, just dirt. The berm is slowly almost gone. We can see straight over to what used to be Tom Sawyer's Island, at least the back part of it, which is also dirt. I'm sensing a theme here, a lot of dirt. So yeah, it's just a lot of dirt. And as weird as this is what Disney and their magic. It's funny to me that I can say things like, I can't wait to be there in June so that I too can see the dirt. Yes, I want to go see dirt. And I'll be very excited to walk up to the top of the Mickey and Friends parking structure to go look at the dirt and take pictures of the dirt, just because it's Star Wars Land dirt. And that is cool. So, yeah, just the constant digging going on right now. And even if you look through the peepholes that they've got on the bridge that used to lead into Big Thunder Ranch, it's dirt. Just big piles and mounds of dirt. And you know what? 6 months from now, we'll probably still be talking about this dirt and the giant tractors that sit on it. Because it's going to take a long time to both put in a foundation and plumbing and rebar and all the stuff that needs to happen in this area before they can start building upwards and get all that dirt pushed into the right places. So bring on the dirt conversation. There's going to be lots to talk about. And what always gets me is the shots of people on Thunder Mountain Railroad when they're coming over the first hill and they too see dirt. Because it used to be all trees and pretty, but now it's not. I mean, it's pretty in the fact that it's Star Wars dirt. And you know what? If they just decided to make it Jakku or Tatooine, they could just call themselves done right now.
Yeah.
There you go. You got Tatooine. All done. Have fun, people. Just come explore. Feel like Luke Skywalker. So that's pretty much what's going on from a construction point of view this week. Let's see. Uh-oh, did you sign me out? Why do I have to sign into my document? Stupid computer. Okay. So, you want one last rumor before we finish the show up this week, Tanner?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So, this is actually a little out of our realm. This isn't Star Wars. But it's interesting just because I know you and I have an attachment to the ride. So one of the plans we've heard about for a long time is Disney wants to build a Marvel-themed land as part of California Adventure. And they've got the perfect space for it. There's an expansion pad that sits behind Tower of Terror, just beyond, you know, the Bugs Land and stuff like that. There's just a nice perfect corner, back corner of the park that they could put a really cool Marvel land in it. And it's important for Disney to put this in because they can't do anything with Marvel characters at Disney World. There's contracts that predate Disney's buying of Marvel. All the theme park rights for the Marvel characters go to Universal Studios in Florida. So Disney can't use Marvel characters in the theme parks past the Mississippi River. So that means the one place they can do it is Disneyland. And from everything we've heard, they have plans to. But the rumor that's kind of reared its big ugly head over the last few weeks is that Disney wants to redo the Tower of Terror to make it a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Initial thoughts?
I don't think they should do that.
How come?
Because Tower of Terror is old and people like it how it is.
Now, you and I are big fans of Tower of Terror, and I really have no idea how a 1930s hotel would have anything to do with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's
true. Other than the fact that it's an exciting ride and it drops, which, from everything I've heard, that the drop portion is supposed to be Groot screwing with you and messing with you and, you know, dropping you in the middle of an adventure. Something to that effect.
That's not spooky, though.
I know. It kind of ruins the vibe of the whole hotel.
Yeah, then kind of ruin it.
But people who are claim to be in the know on this are saying, you know what, a lot of, you know, teenagers today have no idea what the Twilight Zone TV show even is.
So?
It costs Disney money to license a title that it doesn't own, because it doesn't own, you know, Twilight Zone. And they're looking at it as a way to connect, use that as a way, as
if they want to make it Marvel,
connect in with the Marvel land behind it.
If they want to make it Marvel, do like Doctor Strange or something.
Now, granted, I don't know the story of Doctor Strange and haven't seen the movie yet.
Me neither, but that looks more fitting than Guardians.
Yeah. I don't know quite why Guardians, other than
all the dimensions and stuff in the trailer look good for a substitute.
I do know that Guardians of the Galaxy are one of the sets of characters that do not fall under Universal's contract. So they can use Guardians of the Galaxy characters more than they can, say, a Spider-Man, you know, which already has his own ride in Universal.
They should just do Doctor Strange.
That'd be interesting. Doctor Strange is... Well, okay, what about Captain America? Because that guy, he was kind of alive back somewhat then. Right?
What are you going to do with it that fits that ride at all, though?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something other than Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, because Doctor I think Strange. It's a bad idea.
Doctor Strange. It's coming out soon, so people are probably going to like it. It's weird and kind of dimensional stuff. So just put that instead if you want to save money.
It did look a little fringy in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't catch the reference there, Tanner and I are both big fans of the former TV show called Fringe. We don't mean fringy as in, like, doilies and stuff like that. But, so, yeah, the rumors out there that there could be a Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe not permanent addition, but maybe an overlay or something to that effect on top of that ride. I hope they don't do it. I hope they leave the tower alone. I love the Twilight Zone. You know, I even me as an old movie lover, I still haven't seen tons of episodes of the Twilight Zone. You know, it's maybe something I watch just every once in a while, but I don't need that knowledge to really understand what's going on and that this is a spooky hotel. They do that enough with the theming of it. So let's leave the tower alone, shall we? So that's pretty much all the news that's going on right now for Star Wars in the Disney theme park. So Tanner, what do you say we wrap up the show?
All right.
Tanner, you seem to be best at this part, so walk us through it. If people want to contact the show, if they want to visit us in between episodes, what's going to be the best way for them to do it?
They can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher and send reviews about the show. They can find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Park Wars Podcast. And they can send us pictures to post on any of those things. And they can email you, Steve, at parkwarspodcast.com, or me, Tanner, at parkwarspodcast.com.
Fantastic. As of today, I heard we were a part of one of the Disney podcast directories now. So we're slowly getting word of the show out to a wider audience. And appreciate anyone's help they can in sharing us out there. Letting more people know about the Park Wars podcast so that you can listen and especially help us share the words of Star Wars progress by taking pictures when you're in the theme parks of all of the stuff happening in the construction zones. Send them to us on any of our accounts, whether that's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and really help us be there as much as possible. We're up here in Oregon. It's hard for us to get down to Southern California all the time, but we do want to keep up with what's going on. Thanks to everyone who is sending us pictures and contacting us about different things going on. We always appreciate it, but keep them coming. And Tanner, anything else you'd like to add this week?
Nope.
All right. Good to be back at it again. Hopefully we didn't throw off anyone by being gone last week, but we will be here this week. We'll be here next week and for all of the weeks in the foreseeable future, giving you all the latest Star Wars Disney goodness. And so, as we always say, may the Force and your safe Disney travels be with you. And remember,
lightspeed to Endor!